That's right. Blue. I got that.
Attention, Kmart shoppers.
Here we go. Senate Committee on Veterans Emergency Preparedness will come to order. Madam Vice Chair.
This was written by Sergeant Catherine Broom. She's in the Virginia Army National Guard, not the Oregon National Guard. And it was written a while ago when we were having problems in Kuwait. It starts out by saying, our whole medical section was female. I think that says a lot, that we have a natural maternal instinct to take care of these people. The fact that I'm a female probably made it a little bit harder to see all these young boys getting hurt. Men can look at it and say, that's a soldier. Women can look at it and say, that's somebody's son. No physical aspects were any harder. The jobs that we were tasked to perform were still done to standard, but the humanity and psychological toll of some of these things we saw made it harder on us because we turned these casualties into humans with girlfriends and wives. I think that we brought more humanity to the actions that we were performing. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Humanity is definitely important. Colleagues, members of the public, on the schedule today, we have public hearings, and then I do want to announce SB 638. That's the ombudsman bill that was there. We've moved off today's schedule and rescheduled for 421. There are some amendments that are being developed, and on 421, we'll move forward with that at some point. I do have an individual on 638 that has come from a distance away, and so I'm going to temporarily open a public hearing on SB 638 and ask Mr. Gorby if he'd like to come forward and submit his testimony. Do you want to just recap it very quickly, Council?
Sure. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 638 is the measure that permits each county to appoint a veterans volunteer ombudsman with specified qualifications to complement county VSOs. There is an amendment pending, and I want to inform everyone it has been delivered over the lunch hour. We just haven't had a chance to summarize it because, as you'll recall from the testimony on March 10th, ODVA had some suggestions to beef up the program in cooperation with the Association of Counties, and so that's what's pending on the when it's rescheduled on April 21st.
And colleagues, just again for the record, if they can succeed in making this, doing it without a big fiscal, then we'll use course of action B, which was beefing it up, and if it doesn't work, we'll go back to course of action A and use volunteers. Sir, please, welcome to the committee.
Senator Boquist, thank you, members of the committee. My name is Richard Gorby. I am from Deschutes County, and by my counting, I think there's one veteran volunteer ombudsman. That's it. I came out of working at parole and probation. I've been in veteran services most of my life, besides being a veteran. And when I retired from the county, I decided I wanted to remain active. But I also saw over the years where there was a gap. We have wonderful volunteers. We have wonderful providers. But there needed to be a formal recognition. I can't remember many organizations that would set policy with only volunteers. I think a official volunteer ombudsman, give you an example, I get called into family drug court. They can do that with confidence. I get called up by parole and probation often to work with a felon veteran. I also have established a routine with best care treatment, working for the addicts at PTSD. As this position, I'm formally recognized. There's a lot of us out there with a lot of experience, and I think there's a place for us officially, free. I work out of my home. I take calls anytime. I'm working on a problem right now of a guy who needs a comp and pension hearing in Roseburg, and he lives in Christmas Valley. Most likely I'll end up taking him over. Although I did outline a few things, I think we will be best served for time for me just to answer questions. I think that would be best. I can make a presentation, but I'd rather just answer questions and make sure I send you away with understanding how important this is.
Well, just first, thank you for your service, and thank you for helping veterans. And we've had a public hearing on this before.
I understand.
So yeah. I think, and I'm at least in my perspective, we're planning to move this bill in one form or the other. The question is which form we're going to do it, and that's just farther down the line. Madam Vice Chair, question?
Well, if you're the only one in the Bend area, Deschutes County, how did you make connections with people to know that you were the one that they could contact to be an advocate for veterans.
Thank you. It took about three quarters of a year to have them understand what an ombudsman would do. And that they were, the county was a little nervous at that, saying, well, what are you going to do? We already have people. So I explained how it would work, and it's worked out that way. People get a hold of me by calling the county veteran service officer. If they don't know me, or I get referrals directly now from veteran service organizations, but they can call there and say, we're having trouble with the system. And they say, well, contact Dick. And so I contact them, say, well, what's the problem? And tell me, outline what you've done. And so then, if I just over the phone, I would say things like, good, you've done good there, you've done good there. I see that you probably should be sending for your DD-214 member four, or whatever would be necessary. Or, well, when are you going to see the doctor? Oh, you haven't enrolled at the VA medical clinic yet? That is so normal. And so then I guide them. Many times I'll take them and sit through that. It's a nice position for a retiree to stay connected, but yet be official.
That's great. Thank you.
Any other questions? No, thank you. We appreciate your testimony, and we appreciate your service.
Thank you for giving me time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming all the way over.
And is there anyone else that wants to speak on SB 638? And again, this will be placed on the calendar on 4/21. That we're going to close the public hearing on SB 638, and we're going to open a work session on SB 235. Council, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 235 was previously heard on the 17th. It has no revenue impact, and there was a fiscal statement issued, and we are requesting a subsequent referral at the recommendation of Legislative Fiscal Office. This is the one that changes the accounting structures that are of concern to the military department that was testified to previously, distinguishing the concern about the kicker calculation being included, not including. There is no amendment, and as I said, there's a request to go to Ways and Means.
Madam Vice Chair.
Chair Boquist, I move Senate Bill 235 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Madam Vice Chair, Monis Anderson moves SB 235 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that it be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, please call the roll. Excused.
Senator Olson.
Yes.
Vice Chair Monis Anderson.
Aye.
Chair Boquist.
Aye. The motion carries, and it will be sent to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. With that, I'm going to close the work session on SB 235 and open a work session on SB 250. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 250 was also previously heard on March 17th. There's no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. This is the one that permits, rather than requires, the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs to provide beneficiaries with financial assistance, adds the location of the World War II Memorial, modifies the definition of disabled veteran for consistency in the statute, repeals outdated statutes that reference things like the Memorial Task Force, Small Business Loan Program, Campus Veterans Service Officers Program rules, the possibility of federal veterans homes, and county poorhouses. As I said, there's no amendment, basically updating and repealing outdated statutes.
Chair Boquist, I move Senate Bill 250 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair Monis Anders moves SB 250 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Senator Horton.
Excused.
Senator Olson.
Yes.
Vice Chair Monis Anders.
Aye.
Chair Boquist.
Aye. With that, the motion passes. I'll carry it on the floor. And with that, we're going to close the public work session on SB 250. Go back to the top of the schedule for everyone out there and move down the three public hearings. With that, I'll open SB 251 for a public hearing. Council, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 251 expands the authority of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs to act without bond as fiduciary for veterans' benefits and receive payment of Social Security and Supplemental Security Income benefits on behalf of qualifying veterans and their dependents. It declares an emergency, is effective on passage.
And we have one person signed up. Ms. Gilman.
Good afternoon, Chair Boquist, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Laurie Skillman, Senior Policy Advisor for Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. Senate Bill 251 makes it clear in the statute that the department can act as a representative payee for the Social Security Administration or as a fiduciary for the Federal Department of Veterans Affairs. These are two functions that we currently have authority for in statute, but they aren't specifically called out. So we felt that it was beneficial to specifically call out those two functions. Those are performed within our conservatorship program, and basically a representative payee for the Social Security Administration acts as an agent for the veteran to receive those Social Security benefit checks and then writes checks on behalf of the veteran. Same thing for the federal VA. The federal VA has a little a slightly different process for their fiduciary roles. They appoint the department, and they also give the department a very strict budget on what it is that they can spend those funds on. So it's really for absolute clarification. Those two terms, fiduciary and rep payee, are not in our statutes, and we thought that would be beneficial.
So is there a problem, or we're just house cleaning?
House cleaning.
These funds can't be swept, can they?
No, sir.
Good comeback. Good comeback. Okay, if there's no questions, I don't have any further questions. What we'll do, unless I don't see anybody jumping up and down in opposition to a house cleaning bill, we'll then go ahead and close the public hearing on 251 and schedule it next week for a work session. With that, we're going to open a public hearing on SB 252.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 252 exempts the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs from foreclosure mediation process that's required of traditional lenders in the state of Oregon on the home loans that they administer. It exempts them from foreclosure notice requirements on home loans they administer as well. But that, I believe, was in error. So a dash one amendment was prepared which deletes the exemption from the notice requirement. The department does comply with that requirement. So if the bill is moved as amended, it would simply exempt them from the foreclosure mediation process.
You're on again.
Chair Boquist, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Laurie Skillman, Senior Policy Advisor for the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. Senate Bill 252 basically exempts the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs from the foreclosure avoidance mediation program that was set up in 2013. As you know, the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs has originated and serviced their own home loans for almost 70 years. And the home loan program provides veterans with below market rate loans. The foreclosure avoidance mediation program established in 2013 requires lenders to meet with residential loan borrowers and a mediator prior to foreclosure. And the purpose of that mediation is for the lender and the borrower to sit down face to face and discuss possible resolutions of those issues. In the current statute, there is a threshold that a lender meets that requires them to go to use this program, and it is if the lender has 175 or more foreclosures in a period of 1 year. Well, during the 6-year period from 2008 to 2013, ODVA foreclosed on 48 loans. Therefore, we're way below this 175 threshold. The problem is that in May of 2014, the Department of Justice decided that every lender within the state of Oregon was the same lender for purposes of this statute. So ODVA is lumped in with every other state agency that has any kind of loan. We, even though we do not meet this 175 foreclosure threshold, we're required to comply with this with the program. The second thing is, if you look at our statutes for our home loans, There's a policy statement within our statutes, which is pretty unusual, but it says, it is the policy of the state of Oregon to make every reasonable attempt to keep a veteran in a home purchased under the home loan program when the veteran is unable to meet required loan payments. So we have a statutory requirement to do everything that's reasonable that we can do with our veterans to keep them in their homes. And we have a team that works with veterans. We have extraordinary flexibility because we own the loans and we service the loans, unlike many lenders. So we can make lots of different kinds of arrangements and a lot of flexibility within that. You know, as long as you make sure that you balance the keeping the loan program solvent. So it exempts us from this mediation requirement. We take a lot of steps. We have worked with some borrowers for a number of years to keep them in their homes. That's our highest priority once we've made the loan, is to keep them in there. So this is kind of an unnecessary duplication of efforts, and you know, if not for the Department of Justice lumping us in with all other state agencies, we would otherwise not be required to do this. Section 2, is the section that's eliminated under the Dash 1 amendments, and we support that. We spoke with the Department of Justice. They advised us that the language is real tough in these statutes, but they advised us that we should not be exempt from those statutes. I worked with our home loan program team, and they said, yes, they do all the things in Section 2. We don't need that exemption. So that's deleted from the bill.
Sean Cleave and I think it's Janet Berth of DOJ. Before we take questions, we'll get either the neutral or the opposing parties up here. It is DOJ. It's hard to see on here, right?
I apologize.
Okay, that's right, young lady. Please jump in.
Chair Boquist, members of the committee, my name is Janet Berth. I'm an assistant attorney general with the Oregon Department of Justice, and I will make my testimony very brief and say that the department has no concerns with the bill as amended by the Dash Ones.
But it is your department that was making them do it anyway, right? Okay, you don't need to answer that. Sean?
Good afternoon, Senator Boquist, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sean Cleave, representing the Oregon Association of Realtors. We had learned about a concept during the interim related to this bill, and we are here today in neutral stance. I did have a conversation with the department, and I think that our major concerns is that the foreclosure avoidance program has been so successful that we didn't see any reason to deviate from the program. However, I've been convinced that the amendments have been done so in a thoughtful way. Our primary purpose here is to make sure that the opportunities for Oregonians to stay in their homes is kept, and I think that has been satisfied with the amendments. Thank you.
And Vice Chair, questions? Senator Olson? No. Senator Courtney?
I have none.
My only comment is we want to avoid foreclosure. So if this is the process in which we can continue to ODVA, get the Department of Justice off your back, and keep everybody in their homes, then we'll take this up again next week. Then there's no questions with that. We'll close the public hearing on SB 252. Madam Vice Chair, would you be kind enough to make a motion to suspend the rules for 235 and 250 so that Senator Courtney may enter his votes?
Chair Boquist, I move to suspend the rules to allow the good Senator Courtney to vote on Senate Bill 235 and Senate Bill 250.
Madam Vice Chair Monica Anderson moves to suspend the rules for 235 and 250 to allow the good senator to vote. Is there any objections? Seeing none, I open a reopen work session on SB 235. Senator Courtney, how do you vote?
Yes.
That will be recorded into the vote. Close the work session on SB 235. Reopen a work session on SB 250. Good Senator?
Yes.
Good Senator, please record that he votes yes. With that, we close the work session on SB 250 and open a public hearing in SB 253.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 253 makes veterans and service members personally identifiable information exempt from disclosure pursuant to public records request when obtained and kept by the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs in the due course of its functions. No subsequent referrals.
Yep, it's you. You're the only one sitting there.
Good afternoon, Chair Boquist, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Laurie Skelman. I'm the Senior Policy Advisor for the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. Senate Bill 253 is really a consumer protection bill for veterans. Veterans contact the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs for information assistance in applying for federal and state benefits. As you know, ODVA works directly with veterans to provide home loans. We file for veterans benefits with the federal government for disability compensation and pension. We act as a conservator or representative payee. We provide long-term care through our homes, and we provide education and emergency aid. In addition, all the counties file their claims through us, and then we file them with the federal government. Certain limited information in these files, such as certain loan application information, HIPAA information, is protected under federal statutes and other kinds of statutes. However, a veteran's personal information is not protected. Currently, veterans' personal information that's maintained isn't protected, and the bill would provide an exemption for ODVA to be exempt from disclosure under the public records laws for that information. Since 2009, the legislature has shown a strong public policy for the department to collect lots of names and addresses and other information about veterans so that we can conduct outreach, help veterans access and utilize their benefits. I have submitted written testimony, and if you look at the attachment A, there are five separate bills that ask ODVA to collect information. For example, we currently collect information from the Department of Motor Vehicles if a veteran checks off on a title application form or driver's license application form, you know, did you serve in the military? Yes. Would you like to be contacted by ODVA? If so, DMV provides those names and addresses to the department. So we have a lot of those kinds of bills. For a veteran, just the fact that that person is a veteran is considered personal information of that individual. For some veterans, and this is in part historically, some veterans have been treated badly and suffered discrimination, particularly Vietnam veterans, and they don't necessarily want anyone to know that they are a veteran. Military training and a focus on self-reliance for a veteran often makes it difficult for a veteran to ask for help. So we don't want to put any barriers up for veterans coming to the department and asking for help. It's important that a veteran have the comfort and confidence knowing their personal information is protected if they contact ODVA for benefits or help or assistance or information, whether they're borrowing money for a home or accessing long-term care. Public policy of gathering and maintaining veterans' personal information, encouraging veterans to provide that information, becomes challenging to implement if a veteran knows that their personal information is available to anyone. Veterans are a popular target for con artists, scams, pension poachers who cloak themselves in patriotic-looking nonprofit status and prey on veterans and their families. Without an exemption, ODVA is required to release this information to individuals who may use this information maliciously. Some veterans fear if they contact ODVA for benefits, their future employment opportunities may be jeopardized because a potential employer may believe that a veteran's filing a claim for a benefit, and they may not want to hire someone who needs assistance or is categorized as disabled. Although this fear may be totally unfounded, this is a perception among veterans. We have asked for some Dash 1 amendments that are proposed, and we got a call from the Department of Justice about the way some of the language in the bill, and I would be I'm supportive of an amendment to the bill. The way the bill reads right now is that it ticks off a number of kinds of personal information that would be exempt from disclosure: name, address, Social Security number, employer, employer's address, and then in the original bill it says, and other items as established by rule of the director. Department of Justice felt that was a little too broad, and they asked that the ability to add additional information by rule be stricken and instead come up with some very specific language. So we did come up with some very specific language, and that these are the kinds of things that we put in there: marital status, dependents, the character of discharge from military service, which is honorable, dishonorable, other than dishonorable, other than honorable, general under honorable conditions, or honorable, their military rating or rank, the fact, just the very fact of their military service, any information relating to an application or receipt of federal or state benefits, any information relating to why those were denied, and any information relating to a home loan application or grant application, including financial information on the veteran. So that's the purpose of the bill. I know those because it just they just called me last week. Those amendments aren't finished, but I wanted to discuss those with the committee and let you know what they were.
So the Dash 1 amendments will be coming sometime in the future?
Yes. Okay. Imminently.
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 Also, if you haven't seen the news and don't recall, colleagues, there has been a targeting effort in the last week from one of the known terrorist groups in the Middle East against soldiers here in the United States, in which they're trying to tack down exactly this information and encourage lone wolf individuals sympathetic to certain terrorist organizations to attack veterans and their family here and soldiers in the United States. Madam Vice Chair, questions?
Wow. That's terrible.
Welcome to the 21st century. Senator Olson, questions? Recording? Okay, seeing no questions, we will, in theory, roll this forward for a work session next week as long as we get the Dash 1 amendment in time and the rest of the paperwork.
Thank you, sir.
Is there anyone else that wants to testify on 253? And members of the public, I would remind you, though we have had a public hearing on 251, 252, 253, if you want to come during a work session when we have it and testify, or you may go on to OLUS and you can find the contact information for the committee administrator and forward public comments to 253 or any of the other bills via the internet. With that, colleagues, I'm going to close the public hearing on SB 253. Is there anything for the good of the order from anyone? Seeing nothing, we'll close.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Chair, I had a veteran come to me on Saturday. We had a town hall, and he is a part of a group that's raising money to send World War II veterans to Washington, D.C. And this is a group, they're dying, World War II veterans are dying at 40 a day. My dad was a World War II veteran. He's no longer with us. But I was wondering, or we were sort of brainstorming, it's difficult to raise money, and it would be nice maybe if we could send a letter to Boeing in Seattle, and Boeing is located in my district, and this group of veterans that are working on this are in my district, and ask them, would they, out of the goodness of their hearts, be willing to maybe pay for the transportation or charter an airplane for these World War II vets? And I didn't know if the committee would, you know, it wouldn't hurt to send a letter requesting if they have any ideas or if they have charitable causes. I know the military does buy airplanes from Boeing. Anyway, I just thought it was maybe something that the committee could consider.
Do you have specific language you're thinking of?
Not really.
But I'm sure council can figure something out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Any thoughts?
Anyone opposed?
Any objections to reaching out to the business community on our letterhead and asking them to help World War II veterans? If not, then council, if you would take that cause up and run the draft by Madam Vice Chair. And
don't forget Vietnam veterans to the Caribbean.
Right. You may delete the latter request, if you will, please. Colleagues, that's the business of the day. Next week.
Yep. I do want to thank the committee, Senator Boquist, okay. Senator Lori Montes Anderson, and Senator Olson for allowing me to enter my vote on Senate Bill 235 and 250.
I was concerned, sir, when they said the good senator.
I'm not certain which one it was.
You know, this is your birthday. You should be inviting us all for cake somewhere, and you didn't do it. So I'm noting that for the record, please. I didn't talk about your age on the Senate floor.
With that, we are adjourned for the day. Adjourned for the day.